Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Protect your family's future with life cover from Zurich. Talk to a financial broker to find out more.
Now, I can tell you that negotiations about the Windsor framework, that they continue, well, the analysis of the negotiation, the concluded negotiation, the DUP leader, Geoffrey Donaldson, has said that the new deal, as you know, doesn't deal with some fundamental problems created by the Northern Ireland Protocol. On the day that the UK government has unveiled their budget, their spring budget, Downing Street responded to the DUP by saying the framework is the best deal available for Northern Ireland. So we all wait with bated breath as to what the DUP will finally conclude. But a key stakeholder in all of this is the Minister of State at the Northern Ireland office, Steve Baker, who joins me now. Minister, you're very welcome to the programme.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate the invitation.
Now, we'll get to the Windsor framework and the DUP in just a second. But can I ask you, first of all, about your spring budget, insofar as it applies especially to the North or Northern Ireland? Because the UK budget unveiled to great fanfare today, but a key part of it was to bring people of working age, not currently working, back into the workforce. So how is that to be achieved in the North especially?
Well, there is a further and higher education programme of £40 million, subject to business case on the specifics, to widen participation in further and higher education in Northern Ireland. And so that is included. That money is available. We are working to get people back into work in Northern Ireland. That was part of this budget, together with, for example, draft relief on beer, which will apply in Northern Ireland thanks to the Windsor framework. And we've also extended in this budget funding to tackle paramilitarism. So there were distinct measures in this budget to help Northern Ireland.
£3 million, Minister, to tackle paramilitarism. What exactly will be done with that money?
It's a further £3 million. It's on top of £5 from the UK government already, plus matched by £8 from the Northern Ireland Executive. So it's a total of £16 million. And that is a programme run by the Northern Ireland Executive to help improve communities' resilience against coercive control, their ability to resist paramilitarism.
But does that reflect a growing concern?
Well, it's a long-standing issue. And as you'll have perhaps heard the Secretary of State in front of the Northern Ireland Affairs Committee say that we are considering how we can help to wind down paramilitarism. And, you know, we're looking extremely carefully at how we can proceed and deal with what now amounts to criminality. And, you know, with all the political players now committed to the peace process, you know, we do need to deal with this issue of paramilitarism. That's what this funding's about.
Can you explain to me what's being called the Brexit pubs guarantee?
Yes, I think that the Chancellor made sure that we put a label on this issue that any changes to duty will apply in Northern Ireland as they apply in Great Britain. And that is part of the Windsor framework. And we want to be talking about this to make sure that everyone understands that when it comes to VAT and duty, Northern Ireland's place in the Union has been restored.
So what will VAT be? Because I know the hospitality sector was pushing for to be as competitive as the Republic at 9%, and that was kept for a while anyway in the Republic, as you know, at 9%. So what will the VAT be for pubs and restaurants in Northern Ireland?
Well, so the Chancellor didn't make an announcement in relation to that VAT measure, but VAT will now apply the VAT cut that was that applies in GB in relation to energy saving products will now also apply in Northern Ireland, again thanks to the Windsor framework. But that particular measure on VAT to be competitive with Ireland, that was not something in this budget.
And I suppose, as you mentioned, the Windsor framework, I suppose details outlined in the spring budget today, Minister Steve Baker, the Tory government at pains in a way to point out, especially to unionism and the DUP, that what happens in the rest of the UK happens in Northern Ireland as well. I mean, that was part of the Windsor framework. But what do you say to the DUP leader, Geoffrey Donaldson, who's calling for further clarification and reworking and change to the deal that has been concluded now?
Well, Geoffrey has my great respect, and we have been through many events in Parliament together. And so, you know, I know Geoffrey well, and we talk fairly often. And so you'll understand that I, you know, speak in the spirit of friendship. I would just say that the lives and futures of 1.9 million people in Northern Ireland really do turn on restoring the Stormont executive and taking the long-term decisions which are necessary across a wide field, including childcare, which is very topical today, and healthcare. And I know that Jeffrey will be seized of those imperatives, and I know that the Secretary of State will be working with him to try and give him the assurances that he needs, in particular if we need to take legislative steps, for example, on the Stormont break, to show that that is a real opportunity, which I'm convinced it is, for the Assembly to say, no, this new or amended EU legislation will not apply in Northern Ireland. Now, there might be consequences for that. They'd have to be proportionate. But that is a real opportunity to say no to new or amended EU law in Northern Ireland. And, you know, that was very important to me when the Prime Minister asked me about it before he made the announcements. Mm-hmm. And I hope that a measure like that will reassure unionist voters and unionist politicians. And I really... Well, I believe Jeffrey is absolutely seized of the need to promote the welfare of the people of Northern Ireland, and that he will be taking extremely seriously, you know, his responsibilities on the union and to the public and public services.
Well, he's seized of the need, certainly, to represent his unionist constituents, or his constituents, certainly. And he feels, and the DUP and wider unionism feels, that they have a diminished status within as British citizens in Northern Ireland now because of the deal that you've brokered. And they say that significant progress has been made in the Windsor framework, but that it fails to remove all the barriers to trade with Great Britain, and that EU law does apply. And in a way, you could be talking to the ghost of Steve Baker's past, because he's not convinced, similar in ways that you were not convinced with previous deals.
Well, so at the risk of, I don't wish to take too long for your listeners, but if I could just go back to when I resigned from the government in 2018, since you raised the ghost of Steve Baker past, one of the first things I did was say to my colleagues, my Eurosceptic colleagues, we must engage with the issue of Northern Ireland. And we published a paper setting out how administrative and technical measures could be used to have an infrastructure-free border on the island of Ireland with trade east-west without checks. Now, if you look at what's been delivered today, it's technical and administrative measures to deliver on the Green Channel trade east-west without additional unnecessary checks. There will be no customs declarations. And I think it's fair to say no customs declarations means no border. So, you know, I hope you won't mind me saying, if you raise the ghost of Steve Baker past, then, mm-hmm. Before the referendum, I sought to address this problem. We weren't adequately resourced as backbenchers with customs expertise, but nevertheless, we were seized of the issue. And then, you know, when I resigned fundamentally over this problem, I did, you know, set in train the work necessary to arrive where we are.
So can you, Minister, put your hand on your heart and say to Geoffrey Donaldson this evening, I have been there, I have complained about Brexit deals outside of government, maybe making unrealistic demands at the time, but when you're in government, it's more difficult. Hand on heart, this is the best possible deal and there will not be any renegotiation. Is that what you're saying this evening?
Well, there's several things in there for me. So just the first thing is, hand on heart, yes, in the special circumstances of Northern Ireland, this is a good place to be, which I wholeheartedly support. I think it reflects the paper that I had written, I contributed to writing after I resigned from government in 2018. I think it reflects the spirit of the Alternative Arrangements Commission that was catalysed by that work. And I think that in all of the circumstances of Northern Ireland, you know, this is a post-conflict society whose political stability and peace is all contingent on the Belfast Good Friday Agreement, on an island where there is an international border for trade, north-south, with no infrastructure. And in all of those circumstances, I am hand on heart saying to everyone, mm-hmm. this is a good place to reach. We're not expecting to renegotiate this deal, but I think it is just worth bearing in mind that this change has been achieved through the joint committee process which already existed. That joint committee process will still be available, and you know, the trade and cooperation agreement will be up for review in 2025. So okay. This is a living process of our new relationship with Europe and with Ireland, and people will have seen, I've personally, you know, famously gone to some trouble to reset that relationship, yeah. And I'm glad to do so.
And at great cost to yourself personally, as you've said. Can I ask you, I want to ask you about the President Biden's visit. Before I do, though, what happens if the DUP rejects this deal?
Well, we've got clear plans developing within the department. I'm party to those, but you'll know that we don't discuss plans as we're developing them. We'll make announcements in due course. But I'm very, very clear that the best interests of everyone involved are served by the executive being restored.
Okay. Finally, what are your hopes in London for President Biden's visit to Northern Ireland?
Well, I would love for President Biden to be visiting. I would love for us to have a thoroughgoing celebration of the Belfast Good Friday Agreement 25th anniversary. You know, it is the foundation of 25 years of peace. And I would like for that moment to enjoy the same kind of exhibition of statecraft that the agreement itself saw. Obviously, the stakes are not quite the same but at all. But the point is, we need to now get on to 25 years of prosperity founded on political stability. And I hope that President Biden visiting, and indeed politicians from Ireland and from across Europe visiting, will create a real moment, a sense of momentum for Northern Ireland, that better days are ahead. And I genuinely believe they can be. I'm excited to be a Northern Ireland office minister at this time. I'm excited about the much improved relations we have with Ireland. And I'm looking forward to turning a page on a very difficult chapter in our relationship and moving forward with a new sense of positivity to solve the very real problems we have together.
Let's hope that happens. I know you have to go. Thank you very much for your time. Northern Irish Office Minister Steve Baker. Thank you.